1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden about to announce a big chunk of federal money to help reduce a hidden health threat.
The president in Wilmington, North Carolina today will announce $3 billion to help communities in every state and territory remove and replace lead pipes. The money comes from Mr. Biden's bipartisan infrastructure plan. Among other things, lead can cause permanent brain damage in young children, says the EPA. President Biden's to announce that North Carolina will get $76 million to replace lead pipes and that work is already underway in Wilmington. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Authorities in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, that's west of Madison, are pretty sure they stopped a school shooting. Officers shooting and killing a male student outside the middle school who had shown up with a gun. Chinese officials again raised the death toll from Wednesday's collapse of a 60-foot section of highway in Meizhou. It's now up to 48 killed. This is ABC News. Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene moving forward with her bid to oust Speaker Mike Johnson.
Next week, I am going to be calling this motion to vacate. Absolutely calling it.
She's incensed Johnson hasn't pushed the hard right agenda.
He voted to fight against Democrats, fight against the witch hunt against President Trump. But once he became Speaker, he has become a man that none of us recognize.
Don't expect there to be round after round after round of inconclusive votes. Democrats have indicated they'll block this effort. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I'm relieved, as I think all of America is, that chaos in the House will be discontinued.
He says Johnson has done a good job under extremely difficult circumstances. Donna Hayashi Smith appointed as White House curator, first Asian-American woman to hold the post. The curator oversees the care of thousands of artifacts that are in the White House collection. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Civic Media.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers developing later this morning into this afternoon and a few thunderstorms by later today into tonight. Rainfall amounts quarter to a half inch possible by the time everything winds down late tonight. 58 will be the high today. Tonight, 49 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and warmer with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Mino and the Mayor.
You can see him every single Sunday win a Super Bowl, drive off in a Hyundai. Her baby crib is bigger than his. She was supposed to buy Tyco with her money. She bought LiPo with her money. Oh, I just got it tuned. Somebody just tuned in. Said, hey, I just tuned in. Was that actually Kanye or Mino singing that?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, a Navy veteran running for state assembly is the focus of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You could go to Chicago to hear about the Board of Trade, but isn't it easier to listen to Pam Jahnke? This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
No, you know, what's really easy is to turn it over to Zach Bauer, one of the broker analysts with EverAg. He's going to be joining us this morning to let us know what's happening specifically in the dairy markets. How are buyers responding to the continued focus on high-path avian influenza detected in dairy and now testing going on in beef? Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Jahnke on a Thursday that's going to provide a lot of us with a little more moisture. Starting in western Wisconsin with pretty steady rain all morning long today, they are going to see a daytime high right around 57 degrees. The Madison area, you're going to get rain as well, and it could get a little bumpy through the day. Maybe a little thunder. They're even talking some gusty winds, small hail in certain instances. Daytime highs around the Madison area, about 72. On the lakeshore, little cooler, 65, and not much chance of rain. Looks like the front that's coming through sweeps from basically southeast Minnesota across Wisconsin towards the northeast. So not really hitting the lakeshore. That's just what I see in the forecast. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to boot on a Thursday. That, plus the inaugural winner of Wisconsin's Best Beef Burger Contest has been located, and it's in Oneida County. We'll hear from the bar owners of the creation that won that big award, and we're introducing you to another Allison Dairyland finalist. Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com.
With graduation just around the corner, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville School of Agriculture is buzzing with anticipation and celebration as students prepare to embark on their next adventures in the agricultural industry. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And amidst these final exams and job interviews, I'm told that that job market for these grads is looking good. That's according to Platteville School of Agriculture Director Tara Montgomery. She tells us just how good this really is.
Well, we're pretty steady across the board right now. There's definitely a lot of interest from employers in the agronomy sector. And there's also a lot of interest out in the industry from our students who have some experience with some of the sustainability practices and what that looks like kind of on the business side of things, right? So carbon credits and some of those kinds of areas. I think that there's been more of an interest also in kind of combining areas from across the campus. So, you know, there's a lot of students who have an interest in maybe the communication and marketing, as you do. And so trying to reach out to either the School of Business or like with the English department to say, how do we work together to make sure that either their students have more experience in agriculture or vice versa. And engineering is always a big one. You know, the sustainability practices, working with equipment. I would say probably our ag engineering technology areas also have a big big growth in terms of interest. When we're looking at our precision ag class, there's a lot more interest in what we're doing with data as far as that goes. Our animal science is really strong still. Dairy science is strong. There's a lot of interest in students coming in with those passions. So I think we're doing pretty good as far as numbers go, but there's probably more interest in the industry for students than we have students to put in those jobs, but everybody's seeing that challenge.
Speaking of that, do you have kind of a rough estimate of just how many dairy science or agronomy or majors there are, how many students are coming through?
So right now in dairy science, we're at about between 40 and 45, depending on how you count them. There's the ones that declare, and then there's the ones that are showing up in our classes saying, I can't make up my mind yet. And on the agronomy side, I would say we're probably in the 30 range. The interest has been a little bit more challenging from a new freshman standpoint, but a lot of times when they get here, that's when they go, wow, this is cooler than I thought it was going to be, or there's more opportunities than I thought there was going to be. A lot more students coming in with their general education courses kind of taken care of through high school, dual enrollment and things like that. So we're seeing a lot more students going, you know what, I could double major pretty easily and still get out in the amount of time I want to get out. So a lot of that changes once students get here and realize that the opportunities exist.
How about internships now? How do those numbers look?
Oh, we have so many people who want our students. It's an awesome problem to have. So any student who wants an internship can find one. I think the biggest challenge always is, what are students trying to get out of an internship? Sometimes, because we do require internships, students want to stay closer to home. And so sometimes that limits their opportunities. But there's, in terms of the numbers of students going out and getting interns, last year I want to say we were almost to 100, and this year we're shooting for about 85. We had a little dip in enrollment for the kind of the student numbers that would be in that junior class range, but the in terms of the number of students percentage-wise that are doing internships, 95% of our students do internships, even if they also, you know, do another experience like study abroad or research. We still are seeing most of our students take advantage of internships.
And obviously those internships are really helping these new graduates to be prepared for the workforce. You said they want Platteville grads. So how are they being prepared then besides that? Or how are they standing out compared to other graduates from schools across Wisconsin or even just across the U.S.?
I think one of the big things is the ability to network. Because we're a smaller school, everybody knows everybody. And they learn how to interact with folks from, you know, different areas. So our students in agriculture talking to their friends over in engineering, and so learning how to, you know, kind of speak that engineering language. Or when they're involved in theater or music programs, they can talk to students who are in English or in social science. And I think some of those abilities to make connections with anyone, I mean, I think anyone who comes from a farm just has a natural ability to talk to anybody about anything. We kind of grow up that way. But I think our students are also getting that experience in their classes because we're bringing in, you know, industry professionals, whether it's in the classroom or whether it's in our clubs and organizations. They're learning how to do that networking. And so that kind of sets them apart, because when you can put down your phone and have a face-to-face conversation, or pick up the phone and have a phone call conversation, those are some skills that are really sought after. Those verbal skills, but also some written skills. So the ability to put your thoughts to paper, those are some things that we're trying to make sure that our students have. And those are just enhanced by going out into an internship. So we have hands-on experience, but then we also have some of those networking skills that we build upon in the classroom and then also outside of the classroom.
So what are some of the maybe more common companies or positions these grads are looking for? Are they prioritizing pay, or is it because of COVID they kind of missed out on that relationship building? What is that looking like?
You know, it's interesting that you bring up COVID, because the students that are graduating right now, the senior exit surveys that I'm doing, those were COVID freshmen. You know, so they took most of their classes, at least that first semester, kind of online. And so they, in a lot of cases, kind of hit the ground running that next year, said, I'm tired of being in my room. What can I do to branch out and talk to folks? And so I think that, in some ways, it's helped them to connect a little bit better because they realize how important it is to have that person-to-person connection. But I think the opportunity to work in nutrition, the opportunity to work in agronomy, credit analysts, you know, so banks are and lenders are looking for our students. I think some of those areas that students are really excited about right now and that the industry needs are those relationship building types of positions and types of companies. Students want to help farmers succeed. And so what we're teaching them in the class in terms of some practical skills to say, how do you help troubleshoot when you get onto the farm? They build relationships. And then they, you know, make some of those changes, whether it's in the field or in the barn or, you know, in their pocketbook. Those are probably the hottest areas right now.
So how many grads are being hired then before they even graduate? Out of maybe how many total, if you could give me some numbers, how are these comparing to the past even?
I think I have a total of 63 interviews that I'll be doing over the next couple of weeks before graduation. And right now, the numbers look like we're at about, you know, 80% actually hired. And then a lot of students are in their first and second interviews with a couple of companies. So there's definitely our hired at graduation rates are very high. And, you know, by the time we actually hit graduation here next month, I would say we're probably going to be in that 90 to 95% hired at graduation. And then it usually doesn't take very long after for the rest of the students to find a position that they're happy with. It seems like most students are working either with companies that they did an internship with, maybe that they already knew prior to coming to college. It's been interesting having some conversations about what students are looking for. They want to make a difference. You know, like I mentioned, they want to see farmers succeed. Either they're going back home to a farm, students who really want to make a difference in their communities. They love where they grew up, and that's where they want to stay. I see probably the majority of students wanting to do that, too.
That was Dr. Tara Montgomery along with us, UW-Platteville School of Agriculture Director. She says she's very excited to see what kind of mark that these soon-to-be alumni can make on the industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about how to get out of credit card debt. It's going to sound so simple, it's silly. Call your credit card company and ask them for a lower interest rate. I mean, they really will do this sometimes. Now, before you call, get your facts together. If you've been doing all the right things, you know, like paying on time every month, tell them that and ask for a lower rate. If you're going through a tough time, like unemployment, tell them your story. In most cases, they'd rather get something from you than nothing. And if they still don't budge, let them know you're thinking about leaving. Mention lower rates you've seen from other credit cards. And finally, if you really don't get anywhere with the first person you talk to, call back and, you know, try talking to somebody else. A 20-minute call could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more everyday money help, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say, now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Trump Hangover Edition. Crudy washes the MAGA out of his hair, and we take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates Radio. back to the politics.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The state of Wisconsin, and they were absolutely swamped with not only suggestions, but fantastic burgers. During the announcement yesterday, Tammy Vossen, the executive director of the Wisconsin Beef Council, says it couldn't have gone better.
It has been so fun for us to just see how this has all come together. This is a program we've talked about putting together for a number of years, and we're so happy that we got it off the ground this year. We have heard from every one of our Elite Eight restaurants that it has increased their business, which is so rewarding for all of our competitors. And we really look forward to continuing this contest in future years.
Tammy Vossen, executive director of the Wisconsin Beef Council. So the winner is the All-American Burger, served up at Pickles Bar and Grill in Hazlehurst, Wisconsin. You say, where is that? Well, it's in Oneida County, but it is far from most anything else. The co-owner and chief chef, Dan Linscott, tells us about the burger itself.
Well, it was a particular blend I was looking for and I worked with my purveyors on. It's a ground chuck brisket short rib blend. And then it's a half-pound patty, and it's all cooked to order for whatever temperature. You know, our classic All-American, which is lettuce, tomato, onion, and then our smoked garlic sauce. And then we have a CFH, which is a huge popular burger. It comes with our cowboy candy, which is a house pickled sweet jalapeno, pepper jack cheese, homemade spicy barbecue, and bacon.
That's just one of the burgers that they offer at the Pickles Bar and Grill in Hazlehurst, winners of the inaugural Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest. Time for weather. Stumach Ag Meteorologist, that's kind of from your neck of the woods, but I can't even put a finger on Hazlehurst in Oneida County.
Well, if it's further north than home, there's no doubt about that. My mind is telling me we used to spend some time up around north of Tomahawk that is still further northwest from there.
Oh, man. I thought, yeah, Stu grew up in Shawano, so I thought he might have a better grip on me than my O'Connell County roots. Well, regardless, congratulations. And I'm thinking Hazlehurst is getting rain this morning.
Not quite being hit heavily yet. It's really pushing more so into the western side of Wisconsin, Pam. The activity all the way up from western Iowa, southern Minnesota, and building into western Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin, up in the northwest to Chippewa Falls, further north, all seeing a little rainfall, but it is going to push in and cover the state today. Expect showers, even a thunderstorm, nothing severe, and the heaviest storminess, if it develops, would be in the southwest part of the state. Otherwise, we're going to have some rain on and off today, maybe lingering into the nighttime. And a lot of the maps I've been seeing indicate pretty easily some quarter to half inch amounts. Western Wisconsin could even push closer to an inch, so some rain. But the good thing is it dries out a little bit and temperatures stay mild, a lot more spring-like with upper 60s and 70s toward the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, "We are here." Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Sand dunes, alpaca, and cranberry bogs. It's all on our next adventure. I'm Pam Yonke. Come on along. We're going to Cape Cod out east, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a visit to a nearby dairy, then out to Martha's Vineyard, meeting alpacas and going on a sand dunes adventure, plus a visit to a cranberry bog. Find holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for a free travel video, or call 888-557-1024 brochure. Yeah, and space is already limited on that one. All right, Stu, a lot of space to cover, and it looks like it's going to be covered with rain today.
Yes, the rain moves in. A low-pressure system moves towards southern Iowa early today and then up toward Lake Superior by early tomorrow. And that's why we get some rain. Expect a mostly cloudy day, showers, and there could be some thunderstorms. Now, I look for temps today to be in the upper 60s, maybe a 70 here or there, and the southeast and east winds 5 to 15. They gust to 25. Still cloudy, rain tonight, but it will end in the night. Skies even clearer in the west. We drop down very low 50s and upper 40s. Winds will become north. southwest at 5 to 10. How about some sunshine Friday? Nothing wrong with that. More clouds in the east early, but it clears out across the state. And again, upper 60s, almost 70. Saturday, some sunshine, but the clouds build in. Rain may happen by mid-morning in the west, and there could be some scattered showers east of it later in the day. Not a big deal Saturday or Saturday night, Pam. It's still very mild through Sunday and into next week.
All right. I'll take the sunshine, though, for Friday. That sounds good.
It'll be a nice break.
All right. Good enough, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. Thanks again, as always, for your conversation on our talk text line. It doesn't really matter if you've got rain to report or if you're just kind of giving me an update. That number, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Thank you for the message from our friends in Alto this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
I went for a walk yesterday, and I walked past the car, Jim's car, and I saw the light blink in the red light.
Oh.
So I come in here, I said, Jim, your meter's expired. He goes, no, it's not. I put in a bunch of money. I said, ah, Jim, I think it's pretty sure it's your car. So he goes there, he goes, ah. I put it in the wrong meter.
So the guy next to me got free parking.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden about to announce a big chunk of federal money to help reduce a hidden health threat.
The president in Wilmington, North Carolina today will announce $3 billion to help communities in every state and territory remove and replace lead pipes. The money comes from Mr. Biden's bipartisan infrastructure plan. Among other things, lead can cause permanent brain damage in young children, says the EPA. President Biden's to announce that North Carolina will get $76 million to replace lead pipes and that work is already underway in Wilmington. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Authorities in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, that's west of Madison, are pretty sure they stopped a school shooting. Officers shooting and killing a male student outside the middle school who had shown up with a gun. Chinese officials again raised the death toll from Wednesday's collapse of a 60-foot section of highway in Meizhou. It's now up to 48 killed. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police in riot gear moved in on protesters at the UW-Madison campus Wednesday morning. Police started arresting protesters and escorting them off Library Mall after 8 in the morning. Hundreds of protesters, mostly students, are calling on the UW to cut ties with Israel. One in five Americans age 50 and older has no retirement savings. That's according to a new study from the AARP. Spokesman Jim Flaherty says while it's wise to save for retirement, it's not always easy.
A lot of times because they're just trying to get by and they do have to live paycheck to paycheck. But this is one way to say, hey, if you can live with a little bit less from your paycheck every week, that will sure grow.
Some states have state-operated retirement savings programs, but not Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have the day off before facing the Cubs tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Milwaukee with a half-game lead over Chicago. The Brewers' Willy Adames with 3 home runs and 8 RBI in just the last 2 days on how his team is in first place when no one thought they'd be this good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you know, we always been battling the whole year. We never give up, and I guess that tells you, you know, how good of a team we are. You know, we always playing hard, you know, battling, and, you know, just trying to win some games. And for us to bounce back after that Yankees series, I think it was huge. You know, now going on the road, facing the Cubs, you know, hopefully we can, you know, go there and do the same thing.
NBA Game 6. The Bucks down 3-2 to the Pacers tonight in Indy. Dame and Giannis doubtful again. Doc Rivers on how Chris Middleton has performed.
He's been amazing. Chris was on both ends, played a lot of minutes, wanted to stay in. He gave us everything.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, former WFRV news anchor Erin Davison joins us. We'll find out what she's been up to.
Then Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh fills us in on what's going on in town.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers developing later this morning into this afternoon and a few thunderstorms by later today into tonight. Rainfall amounts quarter to a half inch possible by the time everything winds down late tonight. 58 will be the high today. Tonight, 49 tomorrow. Partly cloudy and warmer with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded, privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Tilling every inch of land in the state, except Lambeau Field. There's consecrated ground. Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
My beloved Lambeau Field already getting rained on a little bit this morning with more on the way. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, it looks like most of us in the state of Wisconsin are going to get at least a dribble of rain. Some folks around the Madison area, it might get a little heavier right around 9 o'clock this morning. So rainfall reporters, you can kick it in gear whenever you get a tally for me. That toll-free number, 877-301-FARM. Yep, the talk text line open to you and whatever you have to offer, 877-301-3276. Looks like daytime highs today in the La Crosse area, right around 57. Madison, 72. In the Milwaukee area, you're probably touching out around the upper 60s. So today is the second day of May. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1989, the Iron Curtain starts to crumble. Hungary decided they were dismantling their border fence, and that was the beginning. Basically, they opened their borders to Austria. Hungary also helped hundreds escape East Germany in the months before the Berlin Wall fell. You know, really, 1989, not that long ago, I looked it up, and the wall went up in 1961. So if you were in East Germany from 1961, 1989, the first chance at getting out without needing proper papers, etc. It's not that long ago. On this day in 1997, Tony Blair becomes British Prime Minister. That ended 18 years of Conservative Party reign there. On this date in 2011, Osama bin Laden killed by a U.S. commando. A lot of happy birthdays today and good-looking ones at that. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, 52 years young today. And look at David Beckham. He is 49. Happy birthday. And now you know. Well, we've been pointing to Alice in Dairyland all week long, and today is the beginning of the final phase of interviews for those six candidates that want to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. Starting this morning, rain or shine, they are going to be in Door County visiting local dairies, farmers markets, as well as some fish companies up in Bailey's Harbor. One of the gals that is along on that trip is Lauren Seemers. She hails from Kiel. She grew up on a dairy farm, but decided in the end she could use her talents in other areas of agriculture. And she hopes that will include Alice in Dairyland.
I grew up on a six-generation family farm in Newton, Wisconsin, where we raised registered Holsteins. And so agriculture was always in my blood, always in my DNA. But as I grew older, there wasn't a clear path for me to go back to the family farm. I loved attending shows and events and being involved in youth organizations. I maybe didn't love the more literal aspects of farming every day. But I developed this love for agricultural communications, for communicating with people, for educating, educating consumers, for everything like that. And so I experimented with some leadership roles, like serving as the 2019 Wisconsin Holstein Princess. That was a role that I hold really near and dear to my heart, something that I really enjoyed. And from there, it was kind of solidified that one day I will run for Alice.
Now, did you have any other experience, be it in the collegiate or educational setting or the professional world, Lauren, that helped paint a clearer picture of why Alice fits?
Yeah, I think Alice is relevant as long as agriculture is relevant, and there is no way for agriculture to be obsolete. It is a huge industry, especially here in Wisconsin. It is a huge employer, and everybody needs agriculture. No matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what your diet is, we need agriculture, and we get to have Alice because we have agriculture. As far as educationally, I attended the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh, so my entire life I was based in agriculture, and everywhere I knew, people knew that I was based in agriculture. Moving to Oshkosh was the first time in my life where I was interacting with a lot of people every day who were very disconnected from their food. And so having those casual face-to-face interactions on a daily basis, talking to my professors and to my classmates about my time living on a Wisconsin dairy farm, it was something that just came naturally to me and that I enjoyed.
Alice is going to give you all kinds of opportunities, Lauren. And although your strengths obviously in dairy, what do you look forward to about the Alice position, where it could take you, the education you could pick up there?
I think Alice is the luckiest girl in Wisconsin. No other job do you have a full year of discovery, of diversity, of education every single day. Nobody learns as much in 365 days as Alice in Dairyland. And so while your job is to educate others, you are also immersed in educating yourself. Especially this year, having the finals in Door County, where we have such a diverse agricultural landscape, wineries and coffee breweries and cherries and everything like that. I really just look forward to learning, to immersing myself in the program, learning more about mink and cranberries. You know, Alice is Alice in Dairyland, but she also stands for everything grown and raised in Wisconsin. That could be corn, Christmas trees, cheese, cranberries, really anything.
So a lot of people know you, Lauren, because you've been in Wisconsin's dairy industry for your life. What don't people know about you? Pastimes, favorites, social media binge. What don't people know about Lauren?
Like on a more serious note or, conversationally, what people don't know about Lauren? For the last 3 years, I've been the assistant manager at a bridal boutique in Appleton. So I have actually really enjoyed learning about the retail world, inventory management, luxury sales. These are two-hour appointments that end in a really big once-in-a-lifetime purchase. So definitely interesting, but I wanted to give sales a try, and so that was kind of the opening that I had and the route that I went.
Only does the Farm Babe bring you the behind-the-scenes details about our Alice in Dairyland finalists. Thank you to Lauren Seamers for sharing that about working at that bridal shop in Appleton. We wish them all the best of luck as they begin the final phase of the interview process beginning in Door County this morning at about 7:45. Coming up next, quick look at the markets, and we still have our friend Zach Bauer from EverAg on the way.
Our next episode with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association takes us to Bull Brook Keep in Clear Lake. Sylvia Burgos Toffness says agricultural tourism has allowed her to transition the farm from raising cattle to hosting pasture walks and medicinal herb workshops for the public. She says this unique experience fits the bill for consumers and adds value to the farm.
What we're finding out, and even the 2017 Ag Census stated, people are looking to come to farms for unique experiences. Well, farms offer that. The interest and the hunger for the public, the general public, to visit a farm is growing because they have been so far removed from farming. And when a farmer can get visitors on the farm, there is an avenue for additional income, which is so important to small family farms.
Join the conversation and learn more about how agricultural tourism fits on your farm at gowiagtourism.com.
Way to go, Wisconsin! Again, we top the nation when it comes to specialty cheese production. The latest numbers are out from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Wisconsin produced 25% of the nation's total cheese production and kept its number one spot with specialty cheese. At 942 million pounds, specialty cheese made up 27% of Wisconsin's total cheese production. That was an increase of almost 14 million pounds compared to 2022. 94 of Wisconsin's 117 cheese plants make at least one type of specialty cheese. And a couple other tidbits I saw from the Wisconsin Specialty Cheese Institute. They say that the top specialty cheeses in volume Wisconsin makes, Hispanic cheeses at about 130,000 pounds, feta 122,000 pounds, Parmesan wheels at 105,000 pounds, and all the other specialty cheeses more than 415,000 pounds strong. We dominate on specialty cheese, that's for sure. Now, remember, when I give you the cheese numbers from Chicago, that's not specialty cheese. That's your standard American cheddar cheese. Barrel cheese is unchanged this morning at 185.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 2 cents at 176.75. AA butter was up four, $3.5. The fluid milk for June right now, that goes into cheese. That's down six at 18.48. The July class three milk that goes into cheese settled 7 cents lower at 18.83. All the rest of the numbers are green for go. December corn's up 3.25 right now at 4.76. November beans up 7, 11.72. And July new crop wheat up a dime right now, 6.09 1/4. All right, coming up next, should have plenty of time to visit with our friend Zach Bauer. He is a broker analyst with our friends from EverAg, and he's going to be joining us next to give us a little sense on what's happening in the marketplace that we need to be aware of driving our trade today. Stick around for that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Our series this week on dark money showed how operatives use nonprofit organizations and limited liability corporations to funnel anonymous cash into our elections. We all know it's bad, but what's being done about it? In November, Arizona voters passed the Voters' Right to Know Act by a 72% vote. It requires groups or corporations spending money over a certain threshold in local or statewide elections to disclose donors over $5,000. As we've reported, Americans for Prosperity is challenging it in federal court and other groups in state court. In 2019, New York enacted a bill which requires members, shareholders of LLCs making political donations to disclose their names and apply that amount to an individual's campaign donation limits. But until 2023, it had not been enforced, and as we reported, those rules may have been ignored in the 2022 governor's race. 22 states have banned any corporate contributions directly to a candidate, but 5 states allow unlimited contributions, and most states still allow corporations to donate at the individual's limit. The Minnesota legislature is considering the Democracy for People Act, a sweeping voter access and anti-corruption package, which includes disclosure measures similar to New York and Arizona. And the reintroduction of the Federal Freedom to Vote Act is expected in the coming weeks. Exposing dark money can't come soon enough. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk with the Milwaukee County Zoo about why it's important to keep the Endangered Species Act and all things sports with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
First, because it's what everybody's been talking about. Your angle on High Path and dairy is not so much about consumer confidence or even traders' concern. It's about milk production. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so as this continues to develop and we continue to learn more here, with, you know, recent news for sure out of the FDA has really confirmed once again that pasteurization is a story that that works, right? I mean, and consumers understand that. And even though, you know, last week we had the big new scary headline of 1 in 5 fluid samples tested positive for avian influenza, positive means it's a dead virus in the milk, right? And that pasteurization, again, confirmed yesterday, it works, it kills the virus, and dairy is safe to consume. So, you know, this week, as the ADPI conference, which is the end users, processors, physical traders of the dairy industry, they descended on Chicago. And as I got to talking to a lot of the industry people, you know, the I don't want to say fear, but it was more so not worried about consumer demand and more so worried about, hey, milk production is really, really tight, right? We got that milk production report last week again that showed we were down 1%. That was our first look into what Texas did with the flu, and they were down 5%, right? And kind of more so the fear was, hey, we're already really tight on supply. We're starting to see that have an effect on our cheese price. As you know, just this week we saw that class three market move 50 plus cents. And now what happens as we walk into seasonally where we drop off on milk production, seasonally we start to pick up on demand, and there's a potential for us to be down on milk even more so because these herds continue to deal with the effects of the flu. So to me, that seemed to be the more so the news in the industry this week was how is this going to continue to affect milk production? Is the summer months going to start to clean it up like it normally does? You know, in birds, it typically starts to kill this virus just because of the heat. Are we going to see that happen here in dairy as well? And then will it come back again in the fall? So still a lot of unknowns, but I think that the milk production story is something that people are more so a little bit worried about now than the consumer demand.
Well, it's taken them a while to come around. Zach Bowers along with us, broker analyst with EverAg. Always want to remind you, when you hear the folks from EverAg, you can find them online, ever.ag. I guess that is a sign of life, though, Zach, that the processing industry finally paying attention to what dairy producers had witnessed all along with that, not just domestic milk production going down, but globally.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think we're finally to a tipping point that supply side has done its thing and will probably continue to do its thing because, you know, Europe continues to struggle with poor margins. New Zealand is not really able to grow at all. And we still deal with a lot of poor margins across the country as well, too, depending on who you ship to. So that on top of how expensive it is to buy cows, how expensive it is to build the dairy, interest rates still high. It's very difficult to see a world where we start expanding globally, let alone domestically, on milk production in a big way. So I do believe we can continue to see a supply-side story that remains very tight. And demand, albeit still weak, is starting to trend the right way. But at the same time, it's hard to get much worse than it is, right? So if supply continues to stay tight, any little uptick in demand is going to continue to push us higher, which I think is what we're seeing right now, right? We've been at 145 cheese, 50 cents cheaper than the rest of the world for the last 4 months. We finally got some exports done. As soon as that cheese leaves the country, all of a sudden we're hunting for it here domestically, and it sends our prices right back up to 185. So the question now is, can we hold it, which the last year and a half says we typically fall from this price. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of a pullback at these levels. But I think overall, higher lows and the trend is our friend right now as we look into the next couple months and back half of this year.
Now, Zach, I just got done telling them a little bit about Wisconsin dominating in cheese production overall. And really, the big story with Wisconsin is always our specialty cheeses. When we talk about the cheese market, we're not talking about specialty cheeses. Can you speak at all to that niche and how consumers are responding, how that's getting still moved, despite, like you said, those international constraints?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall demand for those specialties has really grown, right? I mean, I think the consumer in the last couple of years, really the last year, has really shifted their mindset back to natural proteins, natural products, natural butter. And that's why we're really seeing good demand growth in some of those specialty cheeses, specialty butters, things like that. I mean, people are back to understanding that, hey, this is a product that's actually really good for me. And that's why I think we're seeing some good demand for that growth across the globe.
Now, what other stories are you kind of monitoring, Zach? Again, Zach Bauer from EverAg with us. We've got the high path avian influenza that's going to continue to persist, kind of watching that cheese movement. What else are you kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, that and as well as butter. Butter is a big one, right? It's on not so much for the Wisconsin dairymen, but across the country, butter is back on its almost all-time high, sitting here close to $3 a pound across the futures curve. You know, and that really is affected most by the fact that milk production is down, right? Whenever milk production is down, we steal from butter powder plants first to fill cheese plants. You know, we did see that milk production report showed California was up at 0.7%, I believe, for the first time in a couple months. They're big butter producers there, right? So keeping an eye on that to see if their butter plants start to fill up, or is that going to start to bring that butter price down a little bit? Overall, though, like I said, demand is very strong for butter. We are domestically importers of butter. We don't really worry about the export market. So keeping an eye on that one.
All right, I got to let you go, Zach. All out of time. Zach Bauer with EverAg, finishing us up on a Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Midwestern motorists can use E15 blended gasoline again this summer. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
E15 blended gasoline evaporates faster than E10, so it requires a waiver from the Environmental Protection Agency each year for summertime use. That waiver came recently, prompting Troy Bradenkamp of the Renewable Fuels Association to repeat the group's call for a permanent version.
If you had harmonization across the country by having year-round E15 resolved, then that would be a far better solution and a far better position for our supply chain so that there isn't disruption or no bottlenecks or anything like that. So yes, that's again speaking to the need for a 50-state strategy that allows for E15 to be sold year-round.
Scott Richman, also with the Renewable Fuels Association, says E15 is a consumer favorite.
The last few years, the economics of E15 have really been compelling, and so consumers and retail stations have responded to that. You're saving money, you're cutting greenhouse gas emissions, and air quality measures are the same or better, so it's a pretty winning combination. Just another reason why this shouldn't really be an issue anymore about whether E15 can be sold in conventional gasoline areas.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin rapper Matt Harper, who will perform in studio, and then comedian, comedy teacher, and screenwriter Rich Williams joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston on the campus of UCLA. Right